Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, good evening once again. This is Dr. Jean Kennedy coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, greeting you all with peace and love. Indeed, Brother Bob Marley reminds us that it's one love. It's not several kinds of love. It is one true love. And we come to you tonight in the spirit of one love. I have to tell you that tonight I'm actually broadcasting from a tire store. Yes, a tire store. Just moments ago, I got two tires put on my SUV. I have to tell you, I met my guardian angel tonight. Yes, an angel, a real angel. And I'm going to tell you about it because I tell you something. I cannot believe the tire that they took off my SUV moments ago. I actually have Facebooked it to Reverend Harris, and he can send it out and show you. But I went to pull some gas in my car just a few moments ago, and my guardian angel, who happened to be a little old white man, that was my guardian angel, came up to me and said, "Ma'am, your tire looks like it needs to be replaced. You don't have a lot of grooves in that. And I noticed that you're out of state based on your license plate. And when it gets rainy in this state, you've got to have some good tires. Otherwise, you'll glide all over the freeway. And I said, "Oh, okay, thank you very much." And we've got gorgeous weather right now. And so normally I've been out all day. I would have procrastinated and maybe take care of it tomorrow or sometime down the road. But my spirit said, "No, no, no. You go ahead and get you some tires tonight." And so I pulled up and looked for a used tire place, came to a place called Windy Hill Tires, Windy Hill Tires, off of 1085 Windy Hill Road here in Smyrna. And I want you to know something. I told them I just needed one tire. But the brother looked and he said, my dear, he goes, come here, look at this other tire. And on the inside of the driver's side, the inside on my back tire, on the driver's side, the back tire, it was torn up. You could see all the metal coming out. Now, you wouldn't have seen it standing and looking at it in the front. But when I went to touch it, in fact, it kind of pricked my finger because the wires were being exposed. And he says, ma'am, you're going to need two tires tonight. And so I have to say that my little old man that stopped me and came over to me and told me that I needed to get a tire change, which he could not have seen the other tire either. But because my spirit was an obedient spirit and not a procrastinating spirit, and I believe that Jah sent this man to me tonight to go and get my tires changed. And so I want to send a big up to Wendy Hill, two gentlemen, gorgeous gentlemen in spirit that helped me, Brother Philip and Brother David. Brother Philip and Brother David helped me out tonight and got me some tires, and I'm good to go to face the rainy season that will be coming in a few weeks. And again, I thank more so than ever my higher power. So, again, this is Dr. Jean Kennedy giving thanks to Jah, greeting you all in his beautiful name, and also pleased to be on the show with my Reverend Floyd Harris, my partner in crime. I was wondering whether I should say that or not. That's why I hesitated. But I'm sure he's on the other line. Brother Harris, peace and love to you, my brother.
Hey, Dr. Kennedy, we're out here on the West Coast holding it down till you get back. How are you out there in Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, I'm alive and well, and I can say that for reals, because yesterday I was on the freeway driving 65 miles an hour with trucks on both sides of me, brother, and my steering wheel was shaking like crazy. And I said, you know what, I think I need to get an alignment. Did not know that I had a tire that was beginning to thread out. Had no idea that this tire was threading out on me. So I'm really glad to be amongst the living tonight, because it could have been another story, because in the morning I'll be back on the freeway again. So I thank God for my guiding angel that came to me tonight to say, you need to go take care of a tire. I don't even know where the dude is. Tell you where he went to. But so those of you out there that don't believe in angels, take it from Dr. Kennedy. Doctorate degree and all, PhD and all, 3 degrees. Take it from me. Angels exist. They are alive and well. And I was so pleased to meet my angel tonight.
All right. Dr. Jean Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia. We are happy to be on the air again. We've been on the air all week, I believe. And we just been talking about issues. And we had an issue here in Fresno. We were talking about Dr. Kennedy in regards to the Texas University, who did a report, a study on police departments who was not reporting in to the Department of Justice the police shootings. And lucky Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno was picked again here. And so we were talking about that. We were going to talk about that tonight again. But I looked on Facebook this morning, and I was able to see down in Stockton, California, we had a Black Lives Matter organization group down there protesting, and the Stockton police says on the headline, 7 arrests, Black Lives Matter protesters. Police clash in Stockton, California. And so this seems to be happening all across the country, Dr. Kennedy, with the Black Lives Matter. It seems like people are not letting up. People are sacrificing their bodies to go to jail, to stand for justice. I know that Sister Donnie Smith is going to be calling in here soon. Her son was murdered by the Stockton police. She is still today trying to get justice for her son in Stockton, California. And she was out there last night when the riot police came and just really brutalized a lot of the people. And so her son's name was James Rivera Jr. James Rivera Jr. was her son, who was fatally shot by Stockton police in 2010 in Stockton, California. And I believe that she is still on the battlefield in Stockton. She has traveled across the country with Uncle Bobby in Oakland, California. Her and her husband has been traveling across the country helping families to stand up, to fight back, and to give some encouragement that they have a right to stand up. And so we just at a time right now, Dr. Kennedy, where people are not letting up right now on the movement. I believe the Black Lives Matter movement is a similar to the Civil Rights Movement, but I even think it's much stronger in the Civil Rights Movement, even though we had a lot of our elders, as Dr. King and Ralph Abernathy and all of them. This movement, Dr. Kennedy, is being led by young people who is willing to die for what they believe in, because they say they're dying anyway. So if we're going to die, they say we're going to die for a purpose. We're going to die for standing up. And so that's what we have going on, Dr. Kennedy, down there in the Stockton, and I guess I can call Stockton, Mississippi, Stockton also, as well as Mississippi, Fresno. And right now I asked Sister Donnie Smith today, this morning, what was the environment in Stockton, California. She said it was very tense, very high. They have civil rights attorneys, I believe, coming in from Oakland right now to see what they can do for those who were arrested. Sister Donnie had told me that one young man had just got off the city bus, and he didn't know what was going on, and the police just hit him with a billy club and arrested him for no reason. So people are doing civil disobedience now across the country, Dr. Kennedy. So I'll go ahead and give it back to you.
Well, I am so saddened to hear that this is going on right there in the Bay Area. But you know what? An injustice to one is an injustice to all. This is a nationwide epidemic that's going on. We have to admit that the police department is out of control. They are totally out of control. And it is up to the civilians and the citizens and the voters who pay tax money to get them back in alignment. They are a runaway train. And what we see happening today is while they are charged with making sure that law and order is kept, they themselves do not have an accountability system. And so we have to really make sure that we are speaking out for justice. This is a social and restorative justice show. And so we like to point out these issues. You know, I do tip my hat to Black Lives Matter, even though the police departments have pushed the concept that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. It is such a shame that they would speak of Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group. It is not a terrorist group. They're a peaceful group. Yes, there are people that join movements and organizations that are not necessarily part of that. But the Black Lives Matter members are peaceful marchers, and they will do civil disobedience in a very peaceful way. And so you're seeing that. And because we want to draw attention to the issues that are going on, one of the things we have here, Reverend Harris, right here in Atlanta, and we like our listening audience to know that we're broadcasting from 3,000 miles away country. Sometimes we feel like we're only seeing things within a vacuum. But we want you to know that there's a nationwide issues that are going on and movements that are going on. And if you choose to walk around with your head in the sand, you're going to get run over. If you stand in the way of the folks, you will get run over, because this is the time for people to stand up and be counted. We are marching around the walls of Jericho, and believe me, those walls are going to come down. Now, we have a situation here in Atlanta, just to show you that what's going on in San Jose is not out of the ordinary. They have what they call here, Brother Harris and the rest of the listening audience, they have what they call a kill zone. Kill zone. Okay, you didn't hear me. Shall I spell it for you? K-I-L-L zone, a kill zone. And you know what constitutes a kill zone here in Georgia? It is 21 feet. If a police comes to you and you are standing in front of a police 21 feet, and he or she suspects that you have a weapon, something that they think you've got in your hand. Could be your cell phone, could be a weapon, could be a knife, could be a pencil, could be something that they believe is a threat to them. If they believe that you are a threat to them within 21 feet of the police, they can shoot you and kill you. Are you hearing what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? So you know what? We must speak out. We have kill zones right here in Georgia. Now, I don't know what you got going on in California, but we got some serious kill zones going on right here in Georgia. And so, people, you have to talk out. So we are here as a pipeline to support whatever movements are going on for justice. And we want to, you to know that we're behind you, San Jose. We're getting this radio station out so that people can hear. We look forward to the day when we can get in our buses and get on our trains and come into those areas. And just like how we stood up there in Ferguson, to come in and support the causes that are going on nationwide. Because this country is in some serious doo-doo. And with that, I'm going to pass that back to you, Reverend Harris. Can you believe I'm using the word doo-doo on the phone?
Yeah, I tell you, once it starts bothering you, it just really starts bothering you. You know, Dr. Kennedy, I was sitting here doing research on to kind of give a synopsis of what happened to James Rivera Jr. It says in 2010, the 16-year-old was driving and was violently forced off the road by multiple police units. Can you hear me, Dr. Kennedy?
Yes.
It says the vehicle crashed through two garages, rendering it immobile. It says Stockton police officers opened fire on Rivera within seconds of the crash. A total of 48 rounds entered his body from the side and the back of James Rivera, killing him at the scene. Rivera family, and this was in 2010, and it says that during that time, the family has not received police reports, video, or pictures of evidence or his personal property from the police. I do know that I did post some pictures of the body of James Rivera Jr. On our Blog Talk Radio. You can review those pictures that are there. 48 rounds, Dr. Kennedy, that these police officers shot this young man. 48 round bullet shells that hit the ground after the police officers opened fire. Now, this young man had no weapon on him at all. There was no weapon found. Thank God they didn't plant no weapon on him. And so this is what we're dealing with. Now, one of the things, Dr. Kennedy, Sister Donnie in Stockton, she has been marching for justice for her son. If you remember, I went down there on Ground Zero. That day we had that movie people called Cops that were there right before, about a year ago, when the police officer beat the young man at the bus terminal in Stockton. And I don't know if you remember that we went live on the ground in Stockton, California. You can go to YouTube and type in Stockton, California, Reverend Harris in Stockton, California, and the YouTubes will come up when I went down there. And also we were cops was there videotaping. And so if you was to just go to your Google search and put in James Rivera, Stockton, California, our Real Talk listeners can have an opportunity to look and see what we're seeing. What I don't understand is, Dr. Kennedy, in this country right now, how is it that right now we could have men go hunting? Now, this is on television. Not that I agree with hunting, but just for the lack of conversation, it's a sport. And these men go out hunting for deer and bear and what have you, and they hide in the grass behind the trees, and it could be a big old moose, big as a car, or a big old elephant. And do you know, Dr. Kennedy, that they just shoot one time at a big animal or a big elephant or whatever, just one time. But here it is in America that we have police officers shooting 48 rounds at a black child, 48 rounds at a black child, and the young man had no weapon. He posed no threat to them in Stockton, California, these police officers. This is what Black Lives Matter mean, because James Rivera life did matter. And we're going to keep supporting this mother. They just had another shooting just 2 days ago in Stockton, California, and the people had decided that they wanted to march in Stockton, California. So I don't understand, Dr. Kennedy. Maybe we have a caller online. We're going to go ahead and entertain them. Look like they hung up. We're going to entertain those who call in. But how is it that we are being shot at 48 times?
Well, you know what, Reverend Harris, you do make a very good point when you speak in terms of what we do with animals. And that's because there's animal rights organizations. Can you hear me? There are animal rights organizations out there that marches and stands up for the animals. But we as human beings, we've been so brainwashed to believe that when a police shoots someone, particularly a person of color, and more so particularly because it's a black person, we believe they've done something wrong. It is no coincidence when we hear Donald Trump and other people talking about Chicago and the black and black crime that's going on. While that is a sincere situation, it's also designed to brainwash you and I to believe that blacks are the worst of the worst when it comes to crime. So when you hear of a police shooting someone multiple times, you automatically believe, that person must have been resisting. That person must have done something wrong for them to be. They must have been very violent. They must have been resisting arrest, and that's why they had to be shot multiple times. That is not the case. And if I was associated with a university or even a research, one of the research I would love to do, and if there are those out there that are listening to this and you have some kind of influence in the research areas, please look me up. Contact me. One of the researches I would love to see is to count how many physical bullets have been shot by police officers per black body. Do you hear me? I would like to understand and see what the statistics look like for every black male, for every black person that has been physically shot with a bullet. How many bullets was released from that gun to that person versus, and this is a comparison and a contrast research, versus how many bullets are shot into white males. And let us look at that. Because, you see, you have to put these things in the faces of the police officers. They cannot explain why they have to shoot more than one time. But yet we realize that they're shooting multiple times, and that is because they want to make sure the dead body is dead. They do not want that person testifying about the violations that took place. These dead folks are relying on you and I, taxpayers, to speak about the justice, and that's why I love Sister Danny, in terms of how the mother, how she has continued to keep the fight out there. I remember the shows that we did with her in earlier years where she would come in and share about the various things they're doing and her heartbreak about her son. And I say big ups to you, my sister, that you're continuing to keep your son's memory and your son's spirit alive. If every mother would do that, if every black community person would do that, we would be able to stop the police with these violent behaviors that they're licensed to kill. Us not licensed to keep the peace. They are licensed to kill, and we have to change this militaristic behavior here in the United States. Otherwise, black people will be exiled. We will be only a memory, and we've got to preserve ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to do so.
There you have Dr. Jean Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Jean Kennedy is an organizational psychologist who dissects systems, go in and evaluate and see what things needs to be changed in these different organizations. And we just thank her for taking her time out to stay up so late in Atlanta, Georgia. We want to give a shout out to some people right now before we're at our 30-minute mark. We just want to give some shout-outs here real quick. Shout-out to London. We talked to our affiliates over in London. We thank them for tuning in and spreading what we're doing over here in London. I just want to give a shout-out to Hannah with the Fresno Community Alliance and Cheryl Flowers. Shout-out to her and Stacey Williams and Marcus Winston and Sanya Reed from Chicago with the People's Tribune. We can't forget about them who spread, that sends the newspaper from Chicago out here, which allow us to write articles and what have you. Shout out to Brother Ralphie with the Fresno Brown Berets and to Mario for the Fresno Brown Berets. And, you know, the list just keep going on and on. And also don't want to forget about Miss Mary Neal, please rest in peace, who was a freedom fighter, always helping other people, even though she was needing help and assistance. And we just want to give a shout out to her for her life and the legacy that she has left. And we hope that some young African-American woman or someone will pick up the mantle that Miss Mary Neal paved the path for her work to continue here in America, fighting for justice, freedom, and liberation for all people, especially the mentally ill. It seems, Dr. Kennedy, right now, that it's against the law, or you have broken the law in America to be mentally ill. It seems that if you're homeless here in America, especially Mississippi, Fresno, that you have broken the law, and they will do any and everything to you to discredit you, to make you seem like you're unfit to be a human, call the police on you. But we just want to tell those who and the family members that have mentally ill family members is to continue to love them, as Bob Marley says. Continue to embrace your family, embrace the concept of one love that Bob Marley has always sing the song that we play every time we have this show, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors, and know that the best advocate for you is yourself, not me, Dr. Kennedy, but you yourself. And understand that. Take ownership of your advocacy for yourself. You know, you self-teach yourself. Malcolm X was one of the best speakers we had in America. He didn't go to nobody's school. He self-taught himself in prison. He was the best speaker that we've ever had. So if Malcolm X can do it, you can do it too. And so don't you let nobody tell you ever that you cannot speak for yourself. You will always have a voice here in America because our ancestors paved the way. Dr. Kennedy, we have 20 seconds left. I'd just like you to tell everybody what Bob Marley says.
Well, Bob Marley says one love. And that's what we're doing. These shows are done in the spirit of love. So until we come back to you again, one love, brothers and sisters. One love. Continue to support our
show. All right. We are at an archive mode right now, Dr. Kennedy. And, you know, I was just trying to give some inspiration and motivation to the listeners that may be tuning in tonight about the best advocate, the best person that, that can advocate for them is themselves. And you know that I march, protest, and et cetera. But you know what? It comes a time where people just have to be able to stand on their own two feet and understand and put their shoulders back and put their chin up and walk like a man and walk like a woman and tighten their belt up and understand that they have a right to be free. A lot of people don't know what it feels like to be free. And Dr. Kennedy, I'll go ahead and turn it back to you.
Yes, and I don't know if we'll have our sister coming out of to San Jose tonight. I don't know if she's already on the line, if you wanted to say something, or if you want us to just continue to just move forward with the information on our show. Give me an update, Reverend Harris. Will our sister Danny be coming in on the show?
No, it don't look like she'll make it this evening.
Okay. Not a problem. We will get her another time. Let us remember her in the struggle, in the fight. We need more mothers who will do that. We need more mothers who will stand up and be counted. You know, there is a place, even in this movement, for our white people. We don't want you to feel like you're left out. There is a place, because believe it or not, your white privilege serves a good purpose in this day and age. You can tell the story better than we can. We are victims of this system. We know the pain we go through. We know the brokenness. We know what it has done to us, to ourselves, and our families. But you understand your system. And so there is a place for you to be around the table in those conversations. And, you know, Black Lives Matters recognizes that. And while Black Lives Matters prefers that the plan of action, methodology, the plans to move forward, while they prefer that they be the ones that initiates the movements and initiate who's on first and who's on second, Black Lives Matters has also provided an opportunity for an organization called Surge. And when you put in an electrical plug and it has that extra electricity surge, and I don't know what it stands for. Maybe at the next show we'll get that. But Surge is a group of white allies, we call them. And they are able to support what we're doing in the Black Lives Matters movement. Listen, you always hear me say we, because I am part of Black Lives Matters. Whether I have a membership with them or not, whether I march with them or not, whether my name is in some archival materials or not, we are all part of Black Lives Matters. So you can sit there with your bougie self thinking that you are not part of Black Lives Matters. Believe me, when they come knocking at your door, you'll be looking for somebody who can speak up for your cause. So we are all part of Black Lives Matters, whether or not you march or not. Now, there is a place for our white brothers and sisters, and there is an organization that's called Surge. And what Surge has been doing, and I don't know if they have them in Fresno, but what they've been doing here in Atlanta is, for example, when we go to march in the streets, our white people go ahead of us. They actually serve as a live shield. Yes, they do. They stand in front of us so that if the police is going to attack us, they will have to attack their own. And listen, psychologically, that's a wonderful opportunity, because what it does is when the police see someone who looks just like them, they're much more easier to resist the shooting of the guns, resist the beating us down, because there is a white person who serves as a shield, and they willingly do that. My roommate, God bless her, is part of Surge. I don't know that I would live with a white person if they weren't a conscious person who was also in the movement and in the fight. And my 85-year-old roommate, Hilda, has gone on these marches, and Hilda has actually laid down dead in the street to stop traffic from coming, all on her Facebook. And I'm glad she was doing that before she met me, because I think her family would say, what has this lady done to influence you, Sister Hilda? But she has been in the fight long before I even met her. We have such a wonderful spirit. She reminds me so much of Sister Ellie Bluestein there in Fresno. And so there is a place for our white people. And we encourage you, our brothers and sisters, to not sit on your white privilege. Do not sit back and say, well, we'll wait till you call us. Find something to do. You're the one that can speak to the system. You're the one that can go before legislators and say, hey, we recognize the differences because you don't treat my white son the same way you treat my next door neighbor's black son. And so we have a place for our white people to come in, and we respect you when you're with us in the march, when you're holding hands with us, when we're there in the struggle, you're right there with us, and we thank you so very much for being part of this social justice movement. Each one needs one, and we must learn how to advocate for each other and one another, because we all are in this together. Believe it or not, when those police officers take off that blue uniform, they pass gas just like you and I. They have issues just like you and I. They go home and they beat on their wives. They kick their dogs to have psychological counseling. The blue uniform somehow sets them into a whole nother mindset. Outside of that uniform, they're really a nobody. And so that uniform gives them this false heightened impression, because, again, they are put to make sure that the law is carried out. So often they forget that they are as under the law. They see themselves above the law. So we're trying to develop many, many trainings on all levels for police departments across the nation. There are organizations that are coming together and are trying to help the police department to understand where they have gone wrong with their communities and how we, the people, can police our own community. Hillary Clinton, on one of her platforms, talks about us policing our own platform, while Donald Trump talks about law and order and frisk and seize. She talks about policing our community. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but vote your conscience. Do not sit there and say, I will not vote this year, because you know what? To not vote is the worst crime yet. You find somebody to vote, and let me tell you something. If you can't find someone to vote like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, put your name in and vote for yourself. Write your name in and vote for you, but do not sit on your vote, because your vote is highly critical for such a time as this. Because we're in a fight, brothers and sisters, and we have to know which side of the fight that we're on. Reverend Harris, I could not do this work without you. I would not be able to stand strong and stand tall if you are not the foundation from which I have built my trust and my understanding. And I thank you, Reverend Harris, for coming out of your comfort zone. And as a minister where you could hide behind the Bible, you have chosen to do what Jesus would do. Jesus, the revolutionary person, you have taken on his spirit, and I thank you for that. And do not allow any of those pastors in Fresno or anywhere else in any way to intimidate you. I see pastors here going to this council, going to their government officials, and they stand up for righteousness. They're not afraid to do that. I'm not sure what it is that's going on in Fresno, but you are above all of them, Reverend Harris, and thank you for standing for justice, because at the end of the day, that's what we're going to be judged on. How righteous were we doing the work of God, a work of love, a work of respect, and a work of restorative justice.
Here we have Dr. Jean Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia, organizational psychologist here, throwing it down and giving a motivational talk to the Real Talk listeners, Real Talk with the number one doctors out of Atlanta, Georgia. It is about 11:30 in Atlanta, Georgia. And we just thank Dr. Jean Kennedy for giving us that encouraging words for people to vote. Don't say that you cannot buck City Hall. Do not say that anymore, because your vote might take your one vote might make the change of an election. But if you just sit at home and don't do anything and complain and whine and whatever, then you're not part of, you know, there's an old saying, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And I'm saying that I want you to be part of the solution. I may not have any faith in those who are running, but yet again, I have an obligation. Listen, people have died in this country. Black people have died. Listen, there was a time where black people didn't even have the right to vote, Dr. Kennedy, in the United States of America. Do you remember that, Dr. Kennedy, when black people didn't have the right to vote?
Let me tell you something. I was living in Europe at that time. I was in England, and we couldn't understand why it was that black people could not even drink at the water fountains. We couldn't understand what the civil rights movement was because we were busy fighting the apartheid in South Africa. And to see that so many lives were killed for the right to vote. So, yes, my brother, it was a time when we could not. And we're still in that era where we only get to vote every 25 years. The Congress looks at that vote and gives us permission. So we're still second-class citizens. But I am thankful to the young people that are coming behind us because they are not afraid to die for a cause.
Yes, Dr. Kennedy, that is true. They are not scared. And I always tell people you can't fight this fight being scared. You have to be a man or woman that's willing to stand up and ball your fists up and speak truth to power. And that's one of the things that I do. And I thank you, Dr. Kennedy, for those words of inspiration and encouragement to me. As, you know, I do a lot of heavy lifting out here. You know, some people either love me or they hate me. But at the end of the day, neither one of those who love or hate me have a place to put me. And so I have to stand for our little babies for the next several generations. Dr. Kennedy, we're on our last 3 minutes. We're going to go ahead and give it back to you so you can go ahead and lead us up.
Yes, I want to encourage the listening audience to go and see a couple of movies that are out there. The Birth of a Nation, yes, I know you think it's another Roots and it has overtones for a similar to Roots, but it is a movie that shows through history. It is a movie that lets you know that people were not willing to lay down and accept their situation. They were willing to stand up and revolt even if the last one of them died. Go on to support that movement so that you can remind you that people are strong and can take the fight. There's also the movement called the Third Amendment. And the Third Amendment is the future that our ship. Time, that's the